Court there.
I'd like to welcome everybody to this February meeting of the Upper Treating Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown and broadcasting online. If you are wanting to speak on any of the items on the agenda and you're online, if you would hit the chat function and let Doug know which item it is, so when we get to it, we can discuss that. Director Lust, would you call a roll, please, sir?
Justin Bradley.
Present.
Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Bob Lusk here. Shannon Nave.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Jason Flint.
We have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledges of the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Part of our agenda tonight is preliminary hearing of proposed historic use permits. Much of what we have to do in these hearings is legal in nature. And because I'm not an attorney, my voice wouldn't last that long. I'm going to appoint the district's legal counsel, Brian Sledge, to serve as co-presiding officer today for procedural and legal matters in conducting this hearing. And I'll turn it over to Brian now.
Thank you, President Messler. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. As required by law, this hearing is being recorded. And we'll note for the record that the hearing is governed by the district rules, Chapter 36 of the Texas Water Code, and all applicable law, as the board will consider taking action on one or both of these historic use permit applications before us today, if they are uncontested. I'll note for the record that the notice requirements for this hearing have been met. Apart from the regular board meeting notice and compliance with the Open Meetings Act, a separate public notice was provided by the general manager on January 19th, 2026, no less than 30, no more than 35 days prior to today's hearing in compliance with the district rules. And that notice included the information that's required by the district rules. Notice was also posted on the district's website in addition to all the county clerks and at the district office and to anyone who had requested it. Finally, as I noted earlier, the notice of the hearing was posted in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. If there's no objections, I'll ask that the staff include a copy of the notice in the administrative record for this hearing. Does anyone there in the audience or otherwise have any objections to the sufficiency of the notice?
I see none, Brian.
Hearing none, the notices are admitted into the administrative record. The hearing notice included two historic use permit applications, and when we refer to the applications, those are the two we're referring to from the notice. It's my understanding that the general manager has recommended issuance of a permit for each of the applications today, consistent with his determination of the maximum historic use amount for each application. For any applications not contested, the board can consider and vote on those today, as provided by our rules. If two or more board members disagree with the general manager's permit and want additional evidence on an application, we can continue that one. And if we receive any valid requests for a contested case hearing on any of the applications, we'll defer to those on a future date. Our rules provide that the official record for uncontested applications may be meeting minutes or audio tape or a hearing report. We're making an audio recording today, but we may substitute meeting minutes later to serve as the official record. Because we're making an audio recording, if anybody speaks, we ask them to clearly identify themselves on the record. Even if uncontested, I want to remind the board that it's bound to evaluate each application on its own merits, look at the relevant information, and then review the statutory criteria to make its final decision. The information regarding each application and the general manager's technical review, recommendation, and proposed permit is summarized in the board packet that each board member received previously. I'm going to ask the general manager to describe the nature of his review and analysis on the two applications and summarize his recommendations for the board. Then there will be an opportunity to answer any questions, or for the board members to ask the general manager any questions, or to even go through the information on the applications. If the applicant is in attendance, they certainly have an opportunity to make any statement to the board that they desire, but it's not necessary if they agree with the general manager's recommendation and believe that there's enough evidence in the record to support their application. We'll also allow folks who desire to comment on the applications to do so after that time. When we're done with comments and questions, if there's no open issues to be discussed, the board can entertain a motion on the applications. I'd like to note for the record that according to Doug, we don't have any written requests for a contested case hearing, but our rules do allow someone to show up and request a contested case hearing at the hearing before the board takes action. So before we go any further, is there anyone here at the hearing today that wishes to formally request a contested case hearing on either of the two applications?
There's not.
No.
Okay. Because we haven't received any timely contested case hearings request, and because the general manager is recommending permit issuance for each of these, we'll declare the applications to be uncontested. Unless there are any questions, we'll go into review the applications. And Doug, I'll swear you in. If you could raise your right hand, with respect to both of the applications before us today, do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please proceed.
All right. Thank you, Brian. As he mentioned, we've got two applications for historic use permits before us today. I'll bring these back up and talk a little bit more about them in a second. But I'm just going to just kind of refresh the board's memory. And I think some of the
Can you
just, yes,
move
sir.
Brian off the text up to the corner or
I
something?
see that. Yep.
Put him in the corner. Just take him off.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Sorry. Who here got that? They got it. She got it. My sister made me watch that movie a lot as a child. Sorry.
You're under oath right now. You know that.
Huh?
You're under oath. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Baby.
Just to refresh y'all's memory, and again, when we started this, Justin went with us. So we started accepting historic use permit applications in 2020. And then in 2021, we began reviewing those applications and bringing those to the board. The group, what did we get, like almost 400, 500, 300, 400 of them. We broke them into two categories: those that requested a volume equal to or less than their maximum historic use, and those that were seeking extrapolated historic use through a 2-year verification period. The first category was then broken into two subcategories: those that were administratively complete, and those that we had to make requests for additional information. In 21 and 22, we acted on everything that was in 1A. So, I mean, one, so all 1A and 1B. The remaining applications had to go through a 2-year verification period, and we couldn't begin acting on them until September of 2023. We broke those applications into four categories: those that requested a volume that was easily justifiable based on their 2-year verification period. BKV, which is formerly Devon, we broke them out separately because they had so many applications. And then those that required a volume that was larger but could be justified based on production during the 2-year verification period, and that, or that could not be easily justified. We worked with most of those folks, and then we anticipated little to no pushback. And then the last category were those that requested a very large volume that really couldn't be justified, and we really didn't know how they would, react to us coming in and recommending a much smaller number. So everything in one, two, and three has been acted on and approved. So we're now working on the group four. These two are both in that group. We've met with both of them, and so you can see here. Marshall Blake Fortenberry, this is in Wise County on the east side of the county, northeast part of the county. They had requested 50 million gallons a year, the most, and this is for oil and gas activity for fracking. The most they'd ever used was 29.8 million. We met with them. They didn't have any additional records. Basically, I don't remember the exact reasoning, but they just kind of threw 50 million out there, right? Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of put the number out there. So my recommendation is 29,807,000 gallons, which is equal to their maximum historic use. After meeting with them, they were okay with that recommendation. Decatur Golf Club was the other one. The golf club historically has not used a lot of water. Most of their water comes from a spring, right? They have a pond. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but it captures a lot of spring flow. That's what they're using to irrigate. They've used a little bit of well water. They requested 15,667,267,200 gallons. The most they'd ever use was 2.2 million, just over 2.2 million. Meeting with them, describing what historic use permits were, that they weren't in place to, hey, we might want to do this in the future. We went through the operating permit process with them, and after understanding that, then they were okay with the 2.2 million that I am recommending. And with that, I will happily answer any questions.
Board members have any questions for Doug?
I do. Justin Bradley, you didn't get pushed back on either one of them.
No, not much. The golf club maybe a little bit at first, but once I explained to them that, we really can't grant them this larger number under a historic use permit just because that's what they want. And then I outlined the actual permitting process for new production. They kind of understood that and were okay with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Doug?
Doug, Shannon, Ave, do we have anything on their actual usage in the past year or 2 years?
The Decatur Golf Club?
Either one.
Yes, sir, both of them. They report to us. So we have all their production.
We were looking at the 29 million for the oil and gas.
Hornberry.
Are they using anything
I
close to
don't
that?
think they've pumped a drop in the last 10 or 15 years.
They pumped better than you.
That's right. They did. They did. Yeah, they had 1 year of production and it wasn't, I mean, it was under 29 million.
They also have an
Yeah, they do. But that's for a different well, right?
that's for that well included is what
Correct. That well is included, but there's another well on that permit. Yeah.
other questions for Doug?
Any other questions from the board?
Unless there's any objection, I'm going to direct that the entire packet of information provided to the board and in the district files on these applications prepared by the general manager, including the applications, the technical review, the general manager's recommendations and proposed permits, and all other supporting information be included in the administrative record for this hearing. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to provide comment before the board takes action on these applications?
I don't see any, Brian.
Okay, President Messler, I'm going to turn this back over to you for board action, but I want to remind the board that in acting on these applications, they must consider the GM's presentation and evidence given at this hearing, the criteria in Chapter 36 and the district rules for granting or denying a permit application. Back to you.
Thank you. What's the board's pleasure? We've heard the general manager's recommendation to approve these two. I've got a motion from Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second.
Who got in first?
Tim.
Director Micah? Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And shall we close the public hearing at 5:14? Propose a historic use hearing at 5:14 and open the public hearing. Public hearing to receive any public comments, requests to contest, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and/or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum tract size requirements. Item A, applicant owner Nocona Y2 Investments, headquartered out of Van Alstine, Texas, operating permit system ID 104-M. Doug?
Yes, sir. So, Tracy, as you know, we've met with a couple different people. This is related to the golf course at Nocona Hills, which was built in what, the 70s, 80s?
1974, I think,
Right.
platted.
So, back up a little bit. We received applications, a bunch of existing well applications and an operating permit application. Basically, there's one, two, three, four, five, six wells out there that were drilled probably all back in the 70s and 80s. I don't know that any of them have been used for the golf course. Kyle, you used to play up there when you were a kid. When did they stop really operating that golf course? Probably early on in the district, prior to the district.
Well, the golf course, complicated deal. The actual golf course operation was sold to a firm in Los Angeles and then later sold to another one. I don't know that they used the wells at that point. They were pumping. They had a pumping agreement from the city of Nocona for up to 1,000 acre feet a year out of the lake for irrigation purposes. Right. And they stopped using that. And that corporation went defunct. And then volunteers, frankly, have operated for about the last 7 or 8 years.
Right.
I think they just watered it from the ponds that are on the golf course.
If they watered at all. I think they'd only watered like the first hole. Right. So the golf course has recently changed hands.
Yes.
And the new owner is wanting to bring it, you know, back into playing. I don't know the way to put it, to bring it back up to par. Haha.
Par. We get that.
Yeah. But so they've got all these old wells. They started meeting with us. What can they do to use these old wells? So we walked them through the process. This is all in the cross timber. So we only allocate 25,000 gallons per acre in the cross timbers. It's different and less allocation than the Trinity, because generally it's less prolific than the Trinity. So based on that, they own 150, just over 150 acres at 25,000 gallons per, brings them to 3.75 million gallons per year. They requested 3.7. They based this on irrigating 19 greens, tee boxes, and fairways. And you can see the breakdown of what they provided us here. You know, 641,000 gallons for the greens, 97,000 gallons for tee boxes, 615,000 gallons for the fairways monthly. So it brings it to about 16 million gallons a year. Of course, the 3.7 is just under 3 months of that if they actually irrigated all year. But they do, as Tracy mentioned, plan to offset that with surface water. So my recommendation is approval of the permit related to system ID 104M and the amount of 3.7 million gallons per year. Happy to answer any questions.
Board, have any questions?
I have a question. Since we've got a restriction, is there going to be any kind of monitoring on how much water is taken out of the wells?
Yeah, every drop.
It will be monitored and they will notify us?
Yes, they have to report to us twice a year, monthly production.
Will you give them a time frame or will there be something? I don't want to have an uh-oh, we didn't tell you.
So that time frame is written in our rules.
They report just like every other non-exempt well.
The only reason why I want it is be able to know that if they're getting close to their limit, that they stop so they won't be fined.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'll ask staff, because I think I know the answer to this. Well, I'll state. This property owner seems to have been very forthcoming in trying to address issues and meeting things in his responsibilities head up.
Correct. He's been very agreeable to work with, for sure.
The clubhouse burned down. He's rebuilding it. He's rebuilding the apartment, the motel out there. I mean, he's putting substantial investment in it.
He very, very well understood the limitations of our permitting and understood that, you know, yeah, he might need five times what we can permit him. And he understood it. So
I believe Van Alstyne's in Collin County, isn't it?
Correct.
I think he's already familiar with groundwater districts.
Correct.
From his experience over there. So any other questions?
Do we need a monitoring well?
I mean,
I'm just asking.
We do need them, but we can't. I mean, we can't.
Can we request it?
I mean, we request it all the time, but yeah.
We cannot require it on an operating permit.
No, we cannot.
The point is, Justin, I'm just skeptical.
The Nocona Hills Water, Nocona Hills Water Supply Corporation, mm-hmm. I believe, has two operating wells. One's at 400 feet, and one's at almost 800 feet. I bet these wells are 300, are they not, or less?
Yeah, and we've got two monitor wells on the property on in the
Yeah.
development,
And then, of course, we have our well
which is
that's about,
just to the north and west of there.
what, 2 miles away.
Correct.
So,
Yeah, we've got good data in that area.
yeah.
And we have the ones on site and ours. We have transducers in that take water level readings every minute. So we have real time, data.
We don't have monitoring on the golf course.
Not on the golf course,
Close by.
but close by in the, because it's the golf course is in the
It's
development.
in the subdivision.
Right. And we've got one of their old PWS wells. They turned over to us. We've pulled the pump and got a transducer in. And then we measure water levels in one of their pumping wells, I believe. Isn't that correct, Dawson?
Okay. And you were saying that the Kona did sell them 1,000 gallons a
They
day.
did. That contract expired about 3 years ago. And I imagine he's doing this first before he approaches them about renewing that.
And that was 1,000 acres.
1,000 acre feet a year. Understand,
Yes.
no, City of Nocona has their own golf course, but they use a wastewater recapture process to water it with.
Effluent.
So,
1,000 acre feet is 325 million gallons a year, which far exceeds what they were, if they can.
Right. If they can actually get all of it. But a lot of that I think goes into Laser Lake too, right? They have a lake on site that I think they take water and historically got water out of Lake Nakona to put in there.
He will need more water, but I think there appears to be some other avenues for him to get it.
Correct.
Would be good for staff to talk to him about a monitoring well agreement,
Sure.
but not tied to this.
Yeah, no, we will.
Mr. Board's pleasure for the general manager's recommendation.
I'll make a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion?
Just want to make sure that they're informed about how much water they can take out somewhere along the line that we know they're monitoring it in writing.
They are. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, applicant owner of Villages at Weatherford, headquartered in Weatherford, operating permit, system ID 215P. Doug?
Yes, sir. So this is an RV park that's been there for a while. Had historically operated off one small well. I guess they're looking to call. They reached out to Kyle. Their driller reached out, and I believe they're trying to increase the size of the RV park. And I don't know if were they contacted by TCEQ,
I do not know how
or
to.
are they doing this proactively? It appears they're trying to bring the system up to TCEQ standards. I don't know whether they're doing it proactively or TCEQ found out about them. That's how it came to, on our across our radar. The driller reached out. We received five new well applications and an operating permit application. As you can see, it's just south of Weatherford. As far as spacing, they're actually in an area where it's not super productive. They're looking for several 17 gallon a minute wells or less. So you can see all of them meet our spacing requirements. They're all stacked in at the front of the property. The property goes back further back up to the north is where their septic is. Based on allocation of groundwater, either the average depth of the thickness of the aquifer across the property or the depth of the well, whichever is greater or whichever is less, multiplied by 500, multiplied by acres, control or own brings it to 2.892 million gallons that we could allocate them. They're requesting 3.5 million gallons. Their request is based on 99 RV spots, 100 gallons per day, 300 times 365 days, and then 150,000 gallons of irrigation per month. So they actually need quite a bit more than that. Almost 5.5 million gallons. They understood that they couldn't get that much based on our allocation. They asked for 3.5 million. Our allocation only allows for 2,892,692 gallons. So my recommendation is approval of the permit in that amount. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Gallons a day per RV is fairly substantial amount.
Which one was I looking at earlier? That come some of them come out over 100, 140, 100. Right. But usually TCEQ recommends what, between 50 and 100. But we see some that use quite a bit. But 100, I think that would probably include irrigation. So the irrigation on top of that, I think, is it's pretty high. It's pretty high.
County, are they going to get that kind of water?
They'll make 15 gallon a minute wells off the bat. No, what happens after they start pumping? It's not that bad over there, but it's starting to thin out, right?
Are they going to put in storage facility?
Yeah, if it's TC, yeah, they'll have to put it all up to TCEQ specs. And the guy sitting next to you knows way more about that than I do. So they're
it's just standard 290s. There's no difference in the
no.
Well, there is difference. 35 gallons per transient non-community.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there will be storage.
Board, have any other questions, General Manager? I presume we don't have anybody wishing to speak on this.
No, sir. Not that I can see.
Board's heard the General Manager's recommendation to approve in the amount of 2,892,622 gallons per year. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Bradley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Doug, do we have any monitoring wells in that area? If not, can we ask them for that when we give them the good news that we approve their permit?
We can. I'm looking right now. Bear with me. All my Zoom, like, little pop-outs are in my way. Yeah, we don't really have anything, that area, south of town. So
that would be a reasonable request.
Right. We'll send it to them. We can ask.
That's all I got here. I just asked.
Is that it?
And shall we close public hearing at 5:29? Regular board meeting consent agenda, which includes routine and non-controversial items. Any board member can ask any particular item to be pulled and addressed separately. This month's consent agenda includes the minutes from the regular board meeting and public hearing on January 15th, approval of bank statement ending January 30th, current financial reports of the district, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through February 19th, reimbursements for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through February 19th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through February 19th. Do we have any other additional bills?
Sure.
Pull anything? If not, Chair, to intend a motion approving the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion by Director Micah. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Lusk. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 2 is moot. Discussion regarding Texas Water Development Board's groundwater research, science, and data collection grants for fiscal year 2026, including but not limited to authorizing the general manager to submit an application for funding under the grant program, and should the district be awarded funds, negotiate and execute on behalf any agreement necessary on behalf of the district. Doug?
Yes, sir. So last session, during the regular session, the legislature appropriated $7.5 million. It's $3.75 million each year to the Water Development Board for groundwater research. Originally, there was a bill that we worked on and Brian worked on that was setting up a grant program with the Water Development Board. That bill ultimately hit some hurdles, but the money got appropriated to the Water Development Board for these grants. And these grants are specifically for groundwater districts like us to aid in bettering the best available science, right? To drill monitor wells, collect data, build models, things like that. A lot of districts around the state, you know, there's 99 groundwater districts. And I mean, just to be honest, I think we're in the top five as far as budget goes. So there's a big need in a lot of the districts for funding. That being said, we do annually spend a good bit of funding on, you know, everything from transducers and equipment to gather data to we've drilled several monitor wells. And there's some other stuff. So I would like to apply for this grant funding. They've broken the grants into two categories, groundwater research and science, which includes aquifer testing, recharge studies, model development, and then data collection, which can include monitoring well installation and equipment purchases. So right now we've identified, I asked staff a while back to identify some potential projects. The first one is several years ago. I think Jared, you worked on this one with us back in one of your previous positions. The district owns a piece of property there south of Granbury. It was an old public water supply well site. It was an old Southwest water site. What is that in?
Oh, it was on the north side of town.
No, it's south of town.
Don't so many, I don't remember.
You're right. But anyway, Southwest Water, Texas Water Utility, whatever, deeded us this property. Rather than just plug and abandon the well, they asked, said, hey, do you want this property? There's a well on it. The well's basically useless, which is why they abandoned it. Was it Comanche Harbor? I don't think so. No. There was another one, but we didn't get that one deeded to us.
Nonetheless,
we have this property. I would like to drill a couple monitoring wells on this site. Access has always been the issue. It's in the back of a pasture right next to a house. Used to have an angry dog at the house, but not anymore. But we would need to work with the landowner on access to get back across his pasture to get back there. That's why we haven't done anything yet. But I would like to consider that as a project. Another project is an actual aquifer test here at the district office, which would require the drilling of at least one well. We could potentially clean out and use one of the monitor wells up there for the observation well. That's another one. And then the purchase, a lot of the transducers that we initially purchased, I mean, we're coming up on, it'll be 11 years ago we purchased some of those. So getting towards the end of their life cycle. But they're all ones that staff has to go out there and physically download the data. The last several years, we've been purchasing ones that we have a cellular plan that we can go have real-time access to the data. And so I would like to look at replacing all the older transducers with newer ones. And how many transducers do we have, Dawson? 40, 50? There's a bunch. So that number would get pretty large, right?
Cellular plan, is that $10 per well per month, or is it?
You know what it is? Yeah, it's like $22 a month is what we pay for. No. That's for all of them. And there's several on there.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Yeah, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And if I saw your memo correctly, we are going to go through and pre-score each of the different possibilities and see what has the best chance.
Right. And Jill has gone through and done the initial run of that. So, and that's exactly right. What we're going to do, Tracy, is we'll go through and basically the Water Development Board has released, you know, how they score things. So we would go through and see which project would score the best. And then whichever one would score the best, that's the project we'd submit.
Do we have a monitoring well on this property?
Which property?
This
property. We have two. Yes, sir.
Do we need to do anything that would be used for education towards that property? That, in other words, when there's a question about monitoring wells, would be able to say, hey, we've got you one right here. Here's small information that we use for education purposes.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I just don't think that would rise to the cost of asking for a group.
But I just thought maybe they're dealing, they were trying to use some of this that it would help the public understand what a monitoring well does.
Right.
Rather than just telling somebody they've got one.
Right. That would probably fall better under Jill's education budget
I
and
agree.
Through this great grants.
I agree. Yeah, these grants are very specific, and I don't think education is, you know, something that's it's actually for. You actually have to be doing something that's collecting data or improving the science. So I don't know that any education aspect would really fit under the grants.
And this will be competitive grants from all potentially all 99 districts.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing we do, the money that for better equipment, that's all.
Yeah, better equipment, drilling another monitoring well, doing an aquifer test, all of these, like these three things that I've listed here would be the three projects that I'd like to consider. Yeah.
One question I've got.
Yes, sir.
Is this district looks to me like it's the best one in the state, and we continue to lead. Are there things we can do with this grant money that will not only benefit this district, but could lead to some research? It helped the legislature make smarter decisions when they go forward with while they're trying to manage groundwater statewide and some of the other districts. Is there some kind of a research project that meshes our specific needs with the needs of the greater good? I mean, there's a lot of the Wild West is happening right now.
No, you're exactly right. Honestly, if I were to just sit back and say, what should the bulk of this money be used for across the state? It should be used for drilling monitoring wells, right? We have a lot of water level data. It's pretty good, but it's sporadic, right? In areas where you have well-funded districts, you have a lot more data. And so I think that would be the biggest thing is trying to encourage those districts, you know, in the western part of the state that are created decades and decades ago and are still operating under the same tax rate that they adopted in 1957, you know. I'm exaggerating, not that long, but
what about drilling monitor wells in the white counties? Well, and Doug keyed me onto this discussion.
I don't,
the House Natural Resources Committee was discussing, when you look at a map of the groundwater districts in Texas, there's over 100 counties that are white that have no groundwater district.
Right. And you have very poor data there.
And very poor or none.
Right. Most of those white areas now don't have districts because there's either not a lot of groundwater or it's political reasons why they don't. I don't know that that would ever happen. I don't know you'd find the district willing to spend funds to do something outside their district like that. And I don't know if that'd be a hard.
I don't know if you legally can, but
I don't either.
You were talking holistically from the state point of view.
Right. But no, and I think there's a couple other things. The aquifer test might be good. That kind of goes in line with something else we're working on. You know, I think that's important.
Which aquifer? Well.
Right. So technically here we could do, I mean, honestly, we could do two separate aquifer tests here, right? We've got basically the bottom part of the Paluxy and the Glenrose uses the shallower formation here and then the deeper part of the Antlers. So we've got two monitor wells up there with two distinct water levels. So you could do an aquifer test on each one, right? So you could drill two new wells, space them off those, pump those, measure drawdown, measure recovery, get all your aquifer parameters, which then helps to better the data that feeds the GAM.
Have you talked to Brian about how we could do things here that would benefit him in Austin when he's talking to the...
I have not, but I could.
So, if I may.
Is that a good idea?
No, it is.
I want to go is the general manager's recommendation is he's requesting permission to pursue these grants.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps we can give that to him now. Yep. Have him come back to us with some of the ideas he has and us put together some other ideas.
We don't have time for that.
By March 13th.
We don't have time for that.
Well, no, we don't have a lot of time. That's absolutely right. But the thing you're looking for is permission to proceed.
Right. And the applications have to be submitted
March 13th,
the day after our next board meeting.
And then I'll move that we allow.
So we would have to prepare it before
these opportunities for the district with some guidance that we're going to give to him after we vote.
I'm motion by Director Lust. Second by Director Day.
Could we use this? Could We make sure that we would try to cover all four counties. I'm right now going on the education aspect of it. If we're trying to do all this research, we've got some staff members that may want to get their doctorate. This would cover a doctorate degree by having all this information for four counties. Could we, while you're doing this research, being able to institute that so that they could get access where we're talking about the dry areas and so forth and the high populated areas? As I said, I'm for those of them that would like to have some research, would it be available for individuals to get their doctorate?
I do not think we could use that money for this. The data that we collect will absolutely be available for anything, any
That,
public data, and it can be used.
whole point is we, I'm just saying somebody on our staff could use all this for this.
Right.
Also, money's fungible. So if we get money from the grant, that would release other money that we already have that we
Correct.
something else.
Correct. That's exactly right. It frees up that money.
Also, if he decides that the aquifer study is going to score the best, if Jill goes through it and that pair comes out, I fully expect him to come back and say, I'm going to need funds for transducers.
Right.
Because if they go down, then we don't have
Right.
that data.
Right.
So,
And keeping this in mind, they did fund it for 2 years. So I want to be bringing this back to you guys next year, asking for to apply for a
and
second
make
grant next
something
year.
different.
Right.
But they want these three.
Assuming we get awarded grants this year, then it'll be something different next year. Correct. And
So
it could be something completely that we hadn't even thought of yet.
this has come quickly before we've had time to
It really
throw
has.
our wild ideas at Doug and see if he can make it fit.
And here's the thing. It has come really fast. It came out in not a timely manner for me to prepare it and get it in front of you last month. And now it's, the application window is closing before I have time to come back to you again. And so what I want to make sure happens is I want to make sure the Water Development Board gets some applications so that when they go back to the legislature, they can say, look, we awarded all these funds. This is high demand. Can we get some more of this money?
We had 50 applications first year and awarded 10.
Right. Because my goal isn't just for us. It goes back to what Bob was saying is holistically, I want to make sure this money gets appropriated every session so that we continuously have this money because there's places in the state that, some of these districts may be hesitant to apply because they have one staff and they don't have time to fill out the applications and so I think they're going to need to see some success. And I think we need to kind of help the program succeed, and it's free money.
By taking their money, we can help them succeed.
I mean, it's true.
That's what I said.
Right. They want to give the money away.
Help me help you.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
On that question, is there any other items that you wanted to do that you didn't bring up tonight?
On the,
Grant?
no, I don't think so.
But you're open to receiving any
I
ideas
am.
from us.
I am. If y'all have some ideas, shoot them to us and
Well, I was at, I'm gonna, this probably fits better under items for next agenda. I was going to charge the vice chairman to begin fleshing out an idea for engineering grants. We kicked that around 2 or 3 years ago, and we've not moved forward on it.
right. And water
Sorry, Mr.
loss.
Shannon. That's fine, but those wouldn't fit under this grant.
Well,
Oh,
we'd ask about
no.
water loss. And so, like water loss audits, water loss surveys would absolutely fit under this grant. And so, that's one of the ideas moving forward we may want to consider, right? Having we act as kind of a pass through to we take some of this money. Maybe we match some of that money to help, some of the groundwater systems that are losing a lot of water.
40%.
St. Joe's probably 40%. Ringo's 80, 75%.
They're down now. It's come.
Yeah, they've replaced a bunch of their mains.
Now they're down to 74.
No, they're
I think it was down to like 10%. They found the
they
leak.
found them. It just took getting yelled at down here that one night.
Well, different management.
Yeah, different general manager. So, but we discussed that several years ago,
We need to do it.
I think we need to proceed forward. So
Yeah, the water loss definitely fits under there.
I think rainwater harvesting is working. I think whether it's a money that's fungible from this or something else.
Right.
Helping our communities find their line losses.
Correct.
Good for everyone.
I think so too.
It conserves.
It conserves water. So.
So. Item four, discussion regarding development and timeline of amendments to district rules. Doug?
Yes, sir. So if y'all remember last fall, you directed me and Brian to go start working on some rule amendments. We'd received a petition from a gentleman in Parker County asking us to consider increasing track sizes. So we went down and we talked with Brian. We spent an entire day going through all the things that we think we need to address. Some of them are legislative changes that we need to get into our rules. Some of them are issues that we've identified over the past 6, 7 years. And then some are some more recent ideas. But Brian sent us a draft of the proposed changes in January. We've gone through it. We're working on a summary that will be the summary of the rule changes is like 20 something pages. So we're trying to get that into like a summary section and then like a line by line change. And then Brian will be sending that out to you guys probably next week. And we need to schedule, we are going to need to schedule a workshop. It is going to take some time for myself and Brian to go through these changes with you guys. It's not something that I think we can do in closed session on a Thursday evening, unless you want to be here really, really late. And if we need to break it up over a couple work sessions, whatever works best for you. But I do think it's going to take 4+ hours, probably plus, to go through all this stuff and answer everybody's questions. And then you guys are, I guarantee you're going to have some tweaks, some ideas, some other things that we need to change. So I think right now I would expect something from Brian next week, summarizing all the rule changes. And then we need to either now or consider scheduling a workshop to start working through these changes. Because once we go through all these proposed changes with you guys, we get input from y'all, get buy-in from you guys, we make all the changes you guys see that you want, then we've got to go start meeting with our elected officials, right, to make sure they're all on the same page as us. And then we roll it out to the public, right? And then we go through the hearing process and the public comment process. So the first thing we need to do is spend some time with you guys. So however y'all want to, if y'all want me to send out doodle polls, if y'all want to look now, and if y'all want to do it, just come in at lunch on the 12th, the Thursday of our next meeting, and spend that entire afternoon. I see Bob shaking his head yes. I know it's a big, this is probably going to be the biggest time dedication I ask of you
since
the last time and for the next 5 to 10 years, right? This is going to be.
And this is going to be the start of several meetings we're going to have,
right?
The rule process.
But the first thing is to bring you guys up to speed, getting y'all's input and feedback.
We're going county by county.
Potentially. That's 3 or 4 steps down the line.
Yeah, I got it.
This first step is us looking at what staff is and Brian have highlighted as things we need to tweak. Invariably, when you draft a new set of rules, once you put it in operation, you find a, oh, heck, moments. Or you find, here's a situation we didn't envision that's now popped up we need to address,
right.
One of which we're going to do in just a minute. The one that was not on our radar at all.
Sure.
Then at that point, we'll sit down and do our in-house review, what he's talking about, spending 4 hours, or actually, if we start at noon, almost 5 hours, it'll be a luncheon meeting.
I agree. March 12th, 12 p.m.
Everybody take a look at their calendar and see if that afternoon is already dead. Do you know? Wait,
before you said it, we need to make sure we have the data, whatever we're going to read, the summaries, the redlining.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it on the 10th.
No.
And you're speculating when you're saying an attorney's going to get something next week.
No, he's going to get it to us next week.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. That's not a reflection on him. It's a reflection on the legal profession. there's other emergencies that pop up.
Right.
I would like to have a few weeks to digest whatever he is sending.
Yeah. And for certainly our newest board members, you're going to have questions throughout.
Well, and Mike, the work session, I'm not going to be asking you guys to. The work session is basically going to be me and Brian sitting there going through line by line. Here's what this does. Here's why we did this. What is your feedback? So we're not going to be asking you for any action on you guys from you guys.
But we need.
And I will guarantee the summary will come out next week. I guarantee it.
Got that, Kyle?
Guaranteed.
But I agree with him. We need as much time as we can have to take this in small bites,
right?
And understand it.
But initially, and Mike, I totally appreciate what. But we're not asking you guys to act on this for months. What I would like before, and obviously you've been through this before, so you've looked through the rules. But I want early on a chance to sit down and explain everything, so there's no. Because a lot of times somebody will read something and they'll get a misconception about what it means and they'll get that stuck in their head. And that's why I want to be in front. So Brian and I can sit there and say, this is exactly what this does. This is why we did this. And what are your thoughts?
And after that round, if any of us have other thoughts or things we have seen that needs to come up and put it into it, say we do this March 12th, you would probably go into our elected officials between then and our April meeting?
Depending on the feedback I get at that meeting. If everybody, if I get,
if everybody's comfortable with
across
it.
Across the board, conceptually, I like what y'all have proposed. Go forth and start talking to elected officials, I will. If there's, I like most of it, but I really conceptually don't like this, then we'll probably go back to the drawing board. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think everybody's going to, we're not proposing anything crazy, but it is a lot, right? There's a lot of it's administrative. A lot of it's just adding new definitions, changing kind of the way we do little things.
There is a major change, but that's also coming through the GMA on how we're defining DFCs.
Right. And that's kind of not related to the rules. That goes back to what we do in our management plan. So that's still years away.
And at that point, for me to understand, Doug, when you're going to the elected officials, you're talking about doing a presentation before commissioner's court.
No, before I do that, I would like to sit down with a couple commissioners, key commissioners, and make sure I don't want to spring this on any commissioner in a public meeting.
Okay.
I want to make sure they at least conceptually understand.
And
I want very, very much so to avoid what happened last time.
Do you want some of us with you? One of us with you?
I will county? Probably visit with you.
Okay. That way they understand it's not just staff saying we need to do this.
Right. Some of the counties, the judges and commissioners, I mean, I text them all the time. Some of them I don't have quite as close a relationship with. So,
yeah. So presuming we do get the thing out by the end of the next week, that gives us 2 weeks to review before the meeting. If it doesn't get there, then we're going to look at a different date. How's that?
It's whatever you guys want. Just before a board meeting is easy, and it's either that or wait until mid-April. So it's up to you guys.
Do we still have a written copy? I realize everything's on a computer. Used to when we were doing this, we were given a full copy of all the rules.
I'll happily print it out to you, sir, for you.
I may still have that, but I just want to know.
Doug, at this point.
If you want, I can print one out and I can have somebody bring it up and drop it off for you.
Okay. But you're using the ones I'm just trying to make apples to apples here. In other words, the rule that we already have.
Right. So everything will be redlined. So you'll be able to see exactly what changed.
Yeah. It'll be a red line of the existing rules into the changes. Mm-hmm. What is your projected effective date for these permanent rule changes?
You know how that goes, right, Tracy? Potentially middle of the summer would be ideal. And it's like some things will go into effect immediately. Some things we may give some lead time. That would be the goal, would be, have public hearings and being adopting midsummer. Okay. Best case scenario.
Does a workshop before our meeting next month work generally for everybody?
Yes.
Any major objections with your caveat?
I don't know. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
I know you don't.
No idea.
I know.
You said that's the 12th?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're meeting early next month.
Yep.
Okay, let's shoot for the 12th.
We're meeting that day anyway.
That's the Thursday.
That's the point.
Yep.
Item 5, discuss and consider and take action regarding Resolution 26-001, adopting temporary requirements regarding aquifer testing and hydrogeological reports for certain very large volume operating permits. Doug, you want to do an overview on this, please, sir?
Yeah. So when we adopted our rules back in 2019, the idea of large, dense development, like your Rolling V, like your Kelly Ranch, using groundwater, that was just, it was foreign to us. Large, commercial. The biggest users were existing municipalities, right? For example, Amud and Granbury, which are transitioning to surface water. So the idea of this large, dense development and big commercial projects just was foreign to us. There's not a lot of water here. This isn't like deep down dip, or it's not like in the Carrizo where you drill a well and make 3,000 gallons a minute. Biggest well in our district, maybe 200 gallons a minute. Most of the public water supply wells in our district are under 100 gallons a minute. I would say most of them are probably under 50, actually. But what really brought this to light is last year, when the Rolling V came to us, we granted an exception for them to drill some of their wells a little bit closer than what our rules allow to their own wells. And as part of that, we required them to do a groundwater study. What would happen if at full build out you are trying to support this development on groundwater? We had an idea what the results would look like when we got the report back from their consultants. It was quite alarming. And what that brought to light is, look, that kind of dense development, that kind of huge use, is just very likely not sustainable in this district. So being that we hadn't really considered, again, because we didn't have these big, big uses, one of the things that one of the tools in the toolbox that groundwater districts can use is requiring hydrogeologic studies related to permits. Well, do I think every permit that comes in, if they're looking for, a few million gallons, which in the grand scheme of things is not very much water on a permit, should that be subject to these? Well, I don't know. That's up to you. But what I've proposed in talking with our legal counsel, talking with our president, and I talked with Shannon the other day too, it's probably a good idea that we require these kind of studies as part of the permitting process for these very large permits. What we defined as a very large permit, at least initially, is 75 million gallons a year, which would put it in the top 10% of the permits that we currently have issued. We aren't like some districts that have permits that are, half billion, billion gallons. Most of the permits in our district are 10 to 50 million gallons. So in talking with Brian, basically he identified that, this came up as part of our thinking for the rulemaking process. And it's something that we felt we might should get in place sooner rather than later. And so he has proposed that we do this by resolution. The resolution was sent out to you guys, but that's all it does. Is it for these very large permits, for any new operating permit or amendment thereto, would for which the request is greater than 75 million gallons, they'd have to do these hydrogeologic studies on the front end. And they would actually have to do them prior to the application being deemed administratively complete. So it'd be part of the application package. We would, as part of the process, we would write and the board would adopt requirements and guidelines for these hydrogeologic studies. Just so happens staff has been working very, very hard on guidelines for how to properly do a GAC. Now, do I think Jill's entire 100 and something page manual is going to be our guidelines? No, but we're going to write some guidelines and we're going to reference that thing. So furthermore, I think it gives us until May for the board to adopt that, those guidelines, and then it directs me not, if I get any applications at large, to not process them until those guidelines are in place.
And I want to point out, the rolling fee was certainly the eye-opener, but...
Right, and I don't mean to pick those guys out. It's just it just shed the light on the problem.
And here's another point, and I'll use an example. One of the five largest single tracts of land in Monte County sold to a DFW multi-purpose developer. It is in the cross timbers. And if he comes in and decides to design a rolling V-type situation, the water ain't there. So by making this a requirement that they do the study first before they go to all their engineering and design expenses, it actually saves them money in the long run.
Right.
Well, it's not obstruction. In some ways, it's saving them time and saving us staff from having to process things that all of a sudden they just throw up their hands and say, walk away from a development.
Right.
This is residential and commercial, correct?
This is any permit. Any large permit.
I just want to make sure.
Any large
permit. A golf course that uses this amount would have.
Right. Okay. Right. If a golf course came in, they'd have to do it. And so one of the things this would do, you know, and I'm not picking on Rolling V, I'm using examples because we've had something submitted to us, is it might act. So a lot of times when developers go out and they hire somebody to do a water study, their water study that they pay $100,000, $200,000 for is somebody going and looking at our rules and say, here's what you could get allocated. And I've seen them. I've seen them, you know, sealed by geologists and engineers. Literally, they just regurgitate our rules to
them. And then the developer gets frustrated with us.
Well, where I was going is there's no actual hydrogeologic studying happening. They're not actually, they're just saying, here's what I can get on paper. There's nobody's actually saying, is this sustainable? And so it may be eye-opening to a lot of these guys when they start to see their engineers saying, this isn't sustainable, what you're trying to do.
So at this point, I'm going to show it at 6:03, and I'm going to take us into executive session under Local Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with an account legal counsel, so the board can discuss with our legal counsel what we can and cannot do under this and the parameters we're under. No action will be taken during executive session, and we will come back in open session. And if there's any action taken, it will be done in open session.